Once again, good Monday morning. I always like to encourage you to smile on the one day of the week that most people frown about. So good Monday morning, Pastor Tony. These are Monday Minutes podcast teaching. Thank you for taking a moment to listen to this while you're driving, while you're having breakfast, while you're going to bed. I don't know. Many people tell me they listen to this in many different times and many different ways. So just thank you for taking a moment to go on this journey with us on Mondays. You know, this podcast is an extension of our discipleship effort. We don't want to just get people saved, but we want to help believers grow and learn and develop and become stronger and smarter. You know, the Bible says, my people perish, in Hosea, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So we're supposed to be growing in knowledge. Not only human knowledge, but knowledge about God. And there's many ways to do that. First of all, studying for yourself, reading the Bible, coming to church and hearing the word preached, sharing your faith with other Christians, fellowship, testimonies, having conversations about God, reading books about topics about God, but also like small group discipleship, these podcasts, discipleship, teaching, learning, growing. So this is what these podcasts are all about, learning, teaching, growing. And I always say on Mondays, I'm not here to preach today. I am here to teach. And so I'm learning. Hopefully you're learning. This is part 6 of end time talk. End game, end time teaching. Part 6. I cannot believe we're already at part 6. I cannot believe I've allowed myself to go on this long in one particular series, because normally we lose interest, don't we, somewhere along around 3 or 4. But many of you have been giving good feedback, telling me that you're enjoying these, and so I hope so. We're going to continue on today, talking now, part 6. If you have not listened to parts 1 through 5, I would suggest to stop this podcast, go back and listen to 1 through 5, and then listen to this one. Because if you pick up on 6, you're going to be a little bit lost, and you're going to accuse me of not saying this or not saying that or not explaining this or that. But actually, I've probably already done that somewhere between 1 through 5. So do yourself a favor and go back and listen if you're a first-time listener to these podcasts. Thank you again. If you like the podcast, share them. Also, encourage people to go to our church website, therefugenm.com. There's a link to the podcast and, of course, options for online giving. Let's dive in. We've talked about a lot of things, a host of things. I've given groundwork for the rapture of the church, scriptures, even history. I've talked about sensationalism, dispensationalism. We took 2 weeks and talked very detailed and thoroughly about what the Bible calls the tribulation, which is broken in 2 3.5 periods, the tribulation and the great tribulation. We talked about that. Now we're kind of backtracking and talking about the signs of the season leading up to that period, leading up to what we believe will happen, the rapture of the church. Even if you don't believe in a pre-trib rapture, at least you have to understand these signs lead up to the tribulation. How do you know that the tribulation period has began? Daniel 9:27. There's going to be a covenant established with Israel, or our proper language today would be a treaty, a peace treaty, some sort of peace agreement signed with Israel that will be designated for 7 years. Now, we've not seen that happen. It has not been done, so we know we're not in the tribulation period. I believe, and I've taught, that Christians will be harpazo, the Greek word, caught up and taken out before that hellacious time begins. So we've been talking about signs of the season. We've talked about lots of different ones. Last week in part 5, we spent a great deal of time talking about Israel as a sign, and also systemic moral decline, the days of Noah. We talked about Matthew 24 and what that meant and what Jesus was talking about. Why are we talking about this? What's the point, Pastor Tony? The point is to encourage people to not have fear as we are seeing a changing culture, as we are seeing a shift in the time. So don't have fear. This is a push back against fear. It's also intended to encourage us to witness and to have an answer for people who ask it. But always, and I mean always, underscore always, and hear me when I say it, always have the mentality that we are to occupy till he comes. So know the times, discern the season, push back against fear, encourage people as they ask, and witness about Jesus, but keep on living life. Keep on loving your family, and doing all the things that you do, doing your ministries and your jobs, planning for retirement, planning for your kids' college, all of that. Plan, occupy till he comes. Please refuse an out-of-bounds theology of packing up and shutting it down because we're getting ready to leave. That's bad theology, okay? Can you agree with me wherever you are? Wherever you are, can you say amen to that? Please refuse that. I heard a preacher once about 20 years ago. This is no lie. About 20 years ago, I heard a preacher once sitting on international television on a Christian network. And if I would say the name of the preacher, most likely you would know who he is. Major author, major internationally known preacher, pastors of big church. He got really excited. He got in the flesh that night, in my opinion, and he said, the rapture could happen any moment. Pack up, cause we're going up. It's been 20 years. Yes, the rapture could happen at any moment. Yes, we should be spiritually living close to God. Yes, we should be witnessing. No, we should not walk in fear. But help me with that answer. But we're not supposed to have the pack-up mentality. We're supposed to have a let's-get-busy mentality, go-after-it mentality, yes, but continue living life, okay? Someone say okay. So let's push back against it. I hope you're enjoying these. Have you gotten anything out of it? Have these encouraged your faith? Hopefully you say yes, yes, and that is the case for you. All right. Let's dig into another sign of the time. Remember, Jesus said that we would know the signs of the season because we would be able to discern it by what we see, discern it by what we hear. He said that the signs of the time would come like birth pains, and he also, which means they would become more intense and more frequent. And he also tells us and lets us know that the signs of the time would be, in Matthew 24, like the seasons give us signs. We know we're in fall because the leaves are changing colors and falling. The temperature is cooling and pumpkins are sprouting. And so he said, like that, you're going to know. I want you to know. You're going to know the time of the rapture of the church. The time in the end, the time of knowing you're close to the tribulation beginning because of the signs of the time. So we've been talking about the signs of the season, the signs of the time. And today, I want us to continue talking about these things. And by the way, if you didn't catch it, Matthew 24, 32 through 33 is when Jesus talks about the signs of the time. So likewise, know when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. So that's how we're supposed to discern the season. Now, so today, you know, we've talked about Israel coming back to taking Jerusalem, the land blooming again, Israel becoming a nation in 1948, Israel being Jerusalem being a burden to the whole world, the resurrection of the Hebrew language, the temple being planned to be rebuilt, which is happening right now, the systemic moral decline, like the days of Noah that we talked about last week. But this week, I want to talk about something Jesus says in Matthew 24, 6 through 7, wars and rumors of wars. He says in Matthew 24:6-7. Now, I know you've heard this, right? Right? You've heard this. And people have used this. So let's talk about it. Is this a legit sign? Question. Matthew 24:6-7. He says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled." So when you hear about wars, Jesus says, don't be troubled. "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom shall rise against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in divers places." Now, let's talk about a few things here, shall we? Is that okay? Someone say yes. All right. First of all, he says, all these things must come to pass. Now, I just have this real common sense logic in my head, the way I piece together theological discussion. And if we're going to break this passage down and exegete this passage correctly, let's talk about this for a moment, okay? If Jesus said these things must happen, what good does it do, therefore, for us to pray and ask God to stop these things from happening? Well, obviously the answer is it does no good. Then why do we do it? Because I see people all the time saying, you know, pray that these wars don't break out. Pray that these horrible things stop happening. Pray that the world stops changing. Pray that we go back to normal. Folks, listen, I don't care what we believe. Times are not normal. And they're never going to be normal again. Now, I believe that. Times are never going to be normal again. We are on a fast-moving train toward the prophetic fulfillment of all things in the Bible. There's going to come an eschatological end. The Bible says that. The Apostle Paul teaches that. Things will not continue as normal. At some point, there's going to be a rapture of the church. At some point, the seven-year tribulation period will begin. This is the way I see it in Scripture. And the end of that is the second advent of Christ, or the second coming of Christ. Jesus comes back, ends the war of Armageddon, sets up a millennial reign here on earth. Now, I'm not an amillennialist. I believe he's really going to do that, literally. Things are not going to stay the same. You might as well accept that right now. You might as well go ahead and tell Papa and Mama and your grandkids or your neighbors or your friends at work that things are changing and they're going to continue to change. Things are not going to stay the same. The God bless the good old U.S. of A. is not going to always be the good old U.S. of A. Apple pie and fireworks in the summertime won't go on forever. Christmas trees won't always be put up. Things are changing. I believe we have left normalcy. So what good does it do to pray for normalcy? What good does it do to pray and ask God to settle things down? What good does it do to pray and ask God to cause things to go back to normal? That's a waste of a prayer. You know, James tells us you can pray amiss. You can pray wrong. I believe that's praying wrong. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying for peace, and there's nothing wrong for, you know, asking God to help people. But Jesus says here that these things must come to pass. And if the end time signs are our birth pains, that means that there's going to be an intensity and an increase in frequency of these things. So if we're going to talk about wars and rumors of wars, that means the closer we get to the end, the more you're going to see wars in frequency and intensity. So wars are going to increase and become more dramatic. That's what the Bible says. So it does no good to pray against it, because does that make sense to anyone? Because Jesus said that these things must come to pass. He said, "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places," many places. Now, let's make sure we understand that wars by themselves are not I repeat, not, someone say not, not a legitimate sign of the season. No. It is the increase in intensity and frequency like birth pains that is the sign of the season. There's always been war since there's been a fall of humanity. Since sin has been present, there's always been war. Why? Because there's always been someone greedy. There's always been someone trying to take someone over. There's always been someone trying to push someone around. There's always been someone trying to take something that doesn't belong to them. Look at a playground. At any school in America, you see young kids who are, you know, not born again, giving in to their fleshly nature, not understanding it, and there's going to be a bully trying to push somebody around. And sometimes those bullies grow up to be adult bullies, and they get power, and they lead nations, and they try to overtake other nations, or whatever. There's conflict. So as long as there's sin, there's going to be conflict. And so, you know, wars have been around forever. So wars cannot logically be a sign of the season. That's illogical. That's false. Don't say that. Don't say that wars are, you know, let us not say that wars are a sign of the season. They are not. It is the increase in frequency. I mean, seriously, the first war recorded in history took place in Mesopotamia in 2700 BC, or in modern language, BCE. I still say BC. But that was 2700 years before even Jesus was brought to this. And that's just the first recorded war. So it is about the increase in the frequency and consistency of the wars. Hopefully that makes sense to you. Now, you say, well, how do we know that this is a sign of the season? Let's look at year 1900 and beyond, just right there. Let's look at just that century alone, because that century alone tells us a lot about war and why we consider wars to be a sign of the season legitimately. The 100 years after 1900 are without question the bloodiest century in history, far more violent in relative as well as absolute terms than any previous era. Did you know that? The 20th century was dominated by wars and conflicts that are often altered the balance of power around the world. The 20th century saw the emergence of what's called total wars, such as World War I and World War II, which were large enough to encompass nearly the entire world. So yes, I do believe that the 20th century, 1900 and beyond, there was a shift and the dramatic level of warfare. History tells us that. Just the two world wars alone, not counting Korea and Vietnam and all the other conflicts that emerged. So if the 20th century is known as the bloodiest century, if the 20th century is known as the period of time in which the greatest number of deaths has ever been waged because of war, is it not then fair to suggest that that century shifted something and wars become a legit sign of the season? I say yes. Well, what about the Russia and Ukraine war going on right now? Let's talk about that for a moment. I promised weeks ago we'd talk about that, so let's talk about that. Is this Russia-Ukraine war prophetic? Is this Russia-Ukraine war the beginning of World War III? Well, first of all, is it prophetic? Anytime Russia is involved in a war is prophetic, because the Ezekiel war, the 37-38-39 Ezekiel war, that got in that war that has to happen prophetically does involve Russia. So anytime Russia is involved, and you can go back and study that, but anytime Russia is involved, it is somewhat prophetic. Now, we have to establish that. Yes, that's true. And I'm not a war expert. I don't pretend to be. You know, I get so frustrated with, or no, you know what? I'm not going to get frustrated. I just kind of laugh, I guess, more than anything, at these pastors and preachers who think that they're also, because they are a pastor and a preacher, they're also like a health expert. So they're, you know, they can tell you all about that. And they're also a political power expert, and they can tell you all about that. And they are a political strategist, and they can tell you all about that. And they are, you know, they're a national advisor. They can tell you all about that. And they are a war strategist, and they've been generals in their own minds. And, you know, they're just all things to all things, and they can speak with expertise to everything. Well, I'm not that, and I admit that. I'm not a political analyst. I am not a war strategist. I am not all these things. But I can use some sense, and I can study it. I can read, and I can watch the headline, and I can look at what the Word says. So anytime Russia is involved, there's somewhat prophecy involved in that. Is this the beginning of the Ezekiel 37, 38, 39 war? We don't know that. To say yes is to leap to a conclusion. We cannot say that with certainty. It could be, or it might back off and stop. And it could be 10 more years before it really advances. So let's not jump the gun. Let's not leap to a conclusion because we see a headline. That's sensational preaching. And I'm not going to do that. I'm going to bring balance to it and say it could be, but it also might not be. Is that fair enough? We don't know for sure. Is this the beginning of World War III? Once again, let's not leap to a conclusion. It could be, or it might not be. Time will tell. I do believe there's going to be a World War III. I taught that in part four, three and four. I'm getting confused now. I taught that somewhere along the way. there's going to be, and I believe that happens after the rapture. I believe that happens at the beginning of the tribulation period. I believe that World War III breaks out then. Now, I could be wrong. There might be a World War III, and actually the war in tribulations, World War IV. We don't know that for sure, but there's going to be at least a World War III, and the big war that causes a fourth of humanity to perish, that happens in the tribulation. Is this the beginning of that? It could be the beginning of the thing that leads to the thing that leads to the thing that sets up the thing that causes the thing to happen, sure. It could be table dressing, yes. It could be the steps that have to happen before the thing, sure. But all these things are just leaps to conclusion if we say yes. Well, God told me. Well, you know what? If God told you that, then you better write it down and tell us that right now. And time will tell if that really was God. Let me break off here onto a rabbit trail, all right? Here's how we know if a prophecy is of the Lord. It comes to pass. If someone gets on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or a pulpit and claims that God showed him or her something and they put it out there with the timetable on it, there's only one way to know, really there's two ways to know if it comes to pass. One, does it line up with the Word of God? Because God would never prophesy something that contradicts himself. And number two, does it come to pass? That was my major problem. And I'll say this on this podcast. That was my major problem with all the so-called Trump prophets. All these so-called Trump prophets that prophesied that he would be reelected were wrong because he didn't get reelected. Now, I know some people may just swallow their tongue, but that's just the facts. Can we just not say it out loud for all to hear? He didn't get reelected. Don't tell me, well, the devil won and the devil fought and the election was stop that nonsense. If God said the man would be reelected, he would have been reelected. God didn't say it. because it didn't happen. And everyone that prophesied that were wrong, and they needed to apologize. And the one man that did apologize, Jeremiah Johnson, got blasted by so-called Christians. He got bomb threats and death threats. He was cussed. He was cursed. He was treated like trash by so-called Christians because he dared say, "Hey, I missed it." What's wrong with people? My goodness gracious, I'm getting fired up. What's wrong with people? Well, now, when that was prophesied, that meant he would be reelected in 2024. That's not what reelection means. That's not reelection. That's election to another term. Reelection means you serve a consecutive term. If someone would have prophesied he'll serve 4 years, lose, and then be elected later, okay, that's yet to be determined. And if someone did say that, then that might be legitimate. That might happen. But I'm just making the point. Hear me, please. This is sound doctrine. This is sound teaching. Please hear me, someone somewhere. Say yes if you're still with me. Someone somewhere, please hear me. If it's me, I don't care who it is. If someone claims to have heard from God and they prophesy something and they spill it out and they detail it and they timetable it and it doesn't happen, it wasn't God. So anyone prophesying that what's going on in the Ukraine right now is the beginning of World War III or the beginning of the Ezekiel War, well, then we have to wait and see. Time will tell if they're right or not. All right? Is that fair enough? So the whole issue of wars and rumors of wars is a legitimate sign in frequency and intensity. And I do believe the 20th century was a huge, legitimate sign that we ushered into the season of the rapture of the church. Yes, because of the frequency and intensity. And that continues to happen. I'm running out of time. Let's go over a couple of more very quickly. Another sign, another legitimate sign of the season. How about offense? Offense. People being offended. Matthew 24 and 10, Jesus said, And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. So there's going to be a rise in hatred, a rise in betrayal. People won't keep the word like they once did. A rise in the lack of brotherly love, a rise in the lack of unity in general, and a rise in offense. 59% of Americans say that too many people are easily offended these days. 78% of Republicans and 68% of independents say that people are too easily offended. 61% of Democrats even say that people need to be more careful with their words. Now, we're living in a day where you can't say anything to anyone without someone being offended. People are offended over their own nose most of the time. People are offended over Christmas. People are offended over Jesus. People are offended over politics, colors of skin. You can't say pronouns, him or her, without someone being offended. You walk into a store and see a young lady that's clearly a young lady and call her, she could be offended because she goes by the pronoun him. I mean, that's the world we're living in. Offense is high. Politicians offend people by saying hello. The president can wave at the wrong person and someone's going to be offended. The fact of the matter is, whoever the president is, Republican, Democrat, I don't care, whoever the president is, if the president says anything, someone's offended. If I, as a pastor, preach anything, someone's offended. There is a higher rate right now of people leaving churches over hearing something they didn't like and they're offended than ever before. You know, there was a day in which people just sit and say, "Well, I don't agree with that, but I'm not leaving my church." Now people leave church if you don't even look at them correctly. People are so easily offended. There's probably somebody listening to this podcast right now that I've offended already because I mentioned that Trump wasn't reelected. He wasn't. gosh. There are people that still think he's the president. Do you realize that? There are insane Christians that still think he is the president. That Biden isn't the president. Get with it, folks. He lost. I mean, so see, that offended somebody right there. You know, if I preach too happy, I'm offending someone. I've had people leave this church because everything's too ramped up. They want a slow down, heavy, somber service. Somebody else is offended that we have a somber service. I mean, no matter what. I mean, seriously, can we all not agree that the spirit of offense is high? And Jesus said that would be a legit sign of the season. Let me say goodbye, because there's so many more things I could say and there's so many more things I want to say. Next week will be our last podcast on end time teaching. We're going to talk about COVID. We're going to talk about the gospel being preached around the world. We're going to talk about false messiahs, increase in technology and travel, and we'll begin to wrap this up. All right. Have a great day. Smile and tell somebody about Jesus. God bless you.